So would you like to call this to order now and...
Yeah, I thought if you want, we could call it to order and then people can grab something to eat and we can... I thought we'd kick off and just review this year's goals and where we are on in the progress of those, and then we can start talking about next year's goals.
Okay. So with that, I'd like to ask the clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. So with that, I will let Eric take us through the goals.
All right. So we've got food here, salad, pizza, and then Lisa made, what are they, cranberry?
Cranberry cake.
Cranberry cake.
Wow.
So,
home cooking.
I've already sampled it. It's fantastic.
That's so quality.
Yes, right. Exactly. I just want to make sure you're okay.
Make sure we're all safe.
You're right, exactly. Exactly.
You guys are
mean. Well, worded it, like, also in attendance to your Donald's Pizza.
Right, right, exactly. And we didn't pay sales tax, Joan, so I got the exemption. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I know that's it's a sore spot. It is, yeah. But well, Dawn was in fairness to me, Dawn was out today, so I was able to order it online early, so I got it done and got over with.
You didn't forget it.
Didn't forget it, exactly. And we know that. You know how that has happened in the past. So, all right. So grab some eat, and while we're doing that, we can. I wanted to just review this year's goals, and so I've given you a copy of those. We'll just walk through those very quickly. As you know, all of our strategic goals, we have those three main themes that talk about providing for a safe community, strengthening and protecting our value of our property, and then implementing strategies to stabilize property taxes. So as we look at all our goals here for this current year and moving forward, those are themes we want to keep as overarching to all of our discussions. So in terms of public safety, we've spent considerable time and effort working on our training and professional development for our employees and our officers. So there's hundreds of hours that they go through in required and optional training. That has continued this year. The other big thing that we started this year for the sergeants is attending the Northwestern Staff and Command classes. And so that is a separate training for that mid-level personnel, supervisory personnel in the police department that is somewhat of a rite of passage for folks that are sergeants. So as you become a sergeant and then you move up into further roles, it's really important that you go into the Staff and Command classes at Northwestern. So we have one that is wrapping up, another one that is starting after the first of the year, and a third one that has taken some prerequisite classes to go there. So of the four sergeants that are remaining, we have three of them that are actively in process taking those classes. So that's very important. And that gets them not only into further training as it relates to police matters, but also starts to get them into other general training into a police and village or municipal organization. So they start learning about budgeting and maybe revenue forecasting within the department, personnel issues, things like that. So those are very important classes, and that's pretty much the gold standard, if you will, for that level. And so we're pleased that we have folks attending those classes. In terms of the camera system, I think we're probably at a midway or 75% point on that. So all the cameras in the Lake Street business corridor area have been upgraded. Hey, John? Correct? All the ones in Lake Street have been up?
Yes, we have 10 on the east side of town.
Right.
The old system.
Right.
Those cameras were replaced, and then four on the west side of town will be installed in late winter, early spring.
Correct. So that the one on the west side, that's the expansion part.
Correct.
That we're going to put in around the depot in the Parts District area in the West Lake area. So everything that we'll call the legacy system, that's been all upgraded. The software's been upgraded. We've also made an upgrade to our interview rooms. So one of the things we were asked to do and take a look at from the state's attorney's office was look at the camera systems that we use within our two interview rooms. And so those were old systems. And so now we've actually upgraded those cameras, those microphones, and also tied that into the main software platform that controls all those cameras. So it controls, so instead of, the point being is instead of buying another standalone system, it ties into the existing system. And that software platform also ties into District 90's camera system on the exterior of their building. So what is nice is these cameras are not only accessible, you can see them on the second floor, and the chief or the deputy chief can walk you through all the different things that are going on in the Lake Street corridor. That web system is available on the mobile laptops that are in the squads. So the patrol officers at any point can actually go on to their mobile data terminals and pull up those cameras. And they can, what's that?
Our folks can see D90s
on. Our cameras and D90s cameras, right? Where'd John go? I'm just double checking. I don't want to speak out of turn that the officers can see our cameras and D90s cameras in their on their MDTs.
That's correct, because they're on the vigilant system.
Yep, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've done a significant amount of camera enhancement with that, and the quality of the cameras is significantly upgraded. So it's all in HD. So I mean, not that we got bad images before, but you can imagine like everything, you buy something new, and the quality is 10 times better than what it was before. So we're very pleased about that. One thing we're going to work on after the first of the year is developing strategies for the relocation of the 911 center. So that's something that's still on our radar screen, but a lesser priority for the year. Under economic development, property acquisition for Lake and Lathrop. As you know, that has already been taken care of. The PD application came in last week. Lisa and her staff have reviewed it. I got a letter today on that I need to review to see what parts have been submitted and what we're still waiting for that's outstanding. So that letter will go out this week. But we're moving forward on that. Lake and Park redevelopment, those RFQs are due Friday of this week. And so we'll be, after the first of the year, spending some time with the Village Board, the EDC, the work group, et cetera, starting to narrow down those responses. I did talk to the consultant today, as a matter of fact, and we've had a lot of good conversations with people that are interested. So we're hoping for some decent responses. Madison Street TIF. That again got pushed a little bit to the back burner, although we were still doing work behind the scenes on that. Greg Smith has been helping me pull together a lot of the address listing information, and so he's wrapping that up. We have some more due diligence work on that, but my goal here is before the end of the year is to have all of our public engagement meetings scheduled for the beginning of next year. So we wanted to do a little bit more hand-holding with some of the condo units and some of the business owners. So my goal is before we break for the holidays to get those meetings scheduled with all those folks and then move that along.
To your group's credit, though, with the Madison Street thing, you did take care of the Luther. We didn't expect that to come up. So.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, anytime you do goals, you're going to put things on paper and you're going to try to accomplish 90 to 95% of them. And then, as I always say, we have two buckets that what we do. We have all the proactive work that we do when we set out and say, here's what we're going to do. And then we have all the reactive work of the things that we'll never be able to put on a list, and we're just going to have to react as it shows up. And things get moved to this one side when this side goes up, and you know, it's certainly a balance. And that leads into the next item in terms of the Madison Street TIF district. I think two things. One, the comp plan is going to help provide some strategies for implementation, and then speaking with the EDC, that's something that we want them to help us develop as we start to lay out a course of action on that. And a lot of those things can become somewhat fluid depending on, you know, what other goals you have laid out as well. And then we had Fresh Time Farmers Market. That was not an easy task to make sure that got pushed through to the end, but I'm pleased that it did. We got all that legal stuff wrapped up when they weren't doing anything, and we had to take them to court. And if we talk about reactive things, that was definitely a reactive thing we had to react to. But it worked out in the end. We got a lot of our fees reimbursed in terms of our cost, and everything worked out pretty well. And so we were very happy about that. Communication and collaboration. Kudos to John, who got the website up and running here today. Yay.
Looks good.
Round of applause. And so that was a major initiative that we wanted to get accomplished. And so kudos to John and spearheading that. If you're having some issues, I'm told you have to reset your, clear your cookies
all,
or your catch or whatever. I don't know. So I think, was it Patty? Yours was updating in front of you as you were on your computer, like you refreshed it? Or?
Well, no, actually. Computer, and then I actually went to my phone to look something up, and it was new. I'm like, hey, what? And then I went back to the computer, and
Yeah.
Hit refresh and
that's interesting. So you found the first glitch.
Yeah, right.
No, it wasn't a glitch. I had been on the web.
She happened to be on it when
I happened to be on it when it was still old.
Oh, I see.
And
I
then looked at something on my phone and it was new.
Oh,
and
it
was
seems to be
And I, John is also very proud of the mobile application of the website as well.
The mobile website looks so much better than the old one. Mm-hmm. So there's leaps and bounds.
There was one thing I'll show you on the contact list on my mobile that was kind of funny.
So we've got that up and running. We've got our Facebook page up and running. So the website. And then a couple of the new resident information, we also have completed that. I believe that's been posted. And so we still have the mobile app and then the community calendar off to the side. And as we kind of tap the brakes on those, I know tonight we're going to talk about the work Trustee Kharji's done on the collaboration committee. And I think the one comment, and I'm looking forward to that discussion, and I've talked to the village president about this, that I think communication is the new I think I put in my email, the new axe that we just have to grind on a continual basis. And I've come around to that a little bit where you look and you set up goals and you're like, okay, I've accomplished that and I can move on to whatever the next project is. And certainly there's part of that, but I think as you evolve in your thinking, I've come around to the fact, and we've talked about this too, that communication is just that constant barrier you're trying to tackle. And not that you'll ever tackle the bear, but you're going to fight the bear, and you're going to wrestle him down every once in a while, right? And so that's where I think we're spending a lot of our time talking tonight, is to hear back from you and what you all think and what we should be doing and what those next steps look like. So looking forward to that conversation. Comprehensive plan under quality of life, that is ongoing. So Hauziel has completed basically the first 25% of his work, and he's scheduling some additional meetings with some stakeholder groups coming up here at the beginning of January. We're looking at a mid-year completion of that in 2018, fiscal 2019. The holiday decorations, which we had put on there with Trustee Conti's Committee of One, we've got that done. So that looks great. It's just getting started? That's going to be like, is that my new communications? All right. Just want to make sure. But we've gotten some compliments on that, and I agree. They look much better. And then the Sustainability Commission, I know John's not here tonight, but I know they're wrapping up their goals.
I actually got them from Katie.
Did you get them? Okay. So that'll be forthcoming here. I think they're going to come to the first meeting in January and present those to you. So that's that. So good progress. A lot of good things happening in the village. And so for the love of everything holy, please have something to eat.
Yeah,
or maybe this is your way of like getting back to me for not getting the pizza previously.
While you were talking,
no. Okay.
Nice.
You don't like River Pizza, by the way.
Well, I was saying, so Dawn was out today, and so
give him a break.
So I got it ordered online so I could be done with it.
I know.
I know.
Just because I support our businesses.
What Frank, it's an online portal, and, and I'm all over it.
I don't think that ever happens, actually.
Yeah, probably not.
I think his website is just a PDF.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Couple pies? Oh, okay.
Can't wait to eat some. I can see. Eric already got into it.
And it's free.
Kids come home.
But they don't eat the pork.
Really? Well, because Zach was supposed to come home next Wednesday, but his teacher, he only had one final.
I know.
So now he's coming home Sunday, because if we brought him home on Thursday, it would have been.
No hot pepper?
You're welcome.
So she'll
What's that?
These tickets.
No, there's hot pepper. I got hot pepper.
As soon as she found out what his final schedule
was. I got Parmesan cheese.
So she's coming Sunday now, and it's going to be like $40 more. But it's Sunday. It's Sunday night.
Right. They're fine.
John Sheets.
Yes.
Who did the website? It's exactly like the Cook County Clerk website.
What's that?
Who did the website? Who did
Web and Tech. It's their firm.
Yeah, because it's just like the Cook County Clerk website.
But I think they're all beginning to look the same.
No, no, but I mean, the
Cook County said.
I've been out there for a while.
Sure.
To see who's getting challenged.
So when is it? It's due yesterday, right?
Today.
So anybody got challenged?
Everybody got challenged.
Everybody?
Somebody challenged Karen's petitions. Yeah.
Yes.
Cup holder. What is this?
But interestingly enough, Preckwinkle did not challenge Fioretti's.
Oh, because she's going to crush him.
He plays it right.
Who else is running?
Well, there's a Republican running too. Who was the last county board commissioner who was a Republican?
Phelan.
No, he's a Democrat.
No,
it was actually Ogilvie.
Phelan.
No, he was a Democrat. Phelan's a Democrat.
You're right. I don't know.
So it was 1968. It was the last time. Not exactly.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But it's a lot of ways out. I like the way you said that.
It's pasta.
I like the structure.
It's never done. So anybody has suggestions?
Where do I get
so
the?
I've got a couple.
How do I get the mobile app here?
Yeah, it'll be there, man.
John on the website.
Yeah.
Just the mobile version of the website. No, I was just going through it.
No, yeah, completely.
So, like, when you go here,
mm-hmm.
For now, the app.
Okay.
I tried to go on the app.
The,
oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
Just the mobile.
It might be nice to.
The
one that's right down here.
Oh, yeah,
caption.
That's a good idea.
Okay. And then, if you go to any one of these things, which is good, and you ask to be, join it,
mm-hmm.
You might want, I think you want more information than just their email.
Yes, yeah, so we can lock those.
You want their
in.
Name? It'd be nice.
Sure.
Required?
Yeah, we can require all those fields.
Yeah, the only thing you got required is their email.
The
yeah, in the background below.
And your email sometimes doesn't say their name.
Sure thing. Yeah, we can definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Just
mm-hmm.
Unrealistic.
Yeah, make everything required.
Yeah, that might be something on the old website that just stopped when it came over.
I felt bad for the developer.
Okay.
Like they were just.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing required on this is like you
hey,
need.
John.
It's the volunteer field for like the boards and commissions. Not all the fields are required, so we can lock it in so that somebody has to enter their name.
Oh, that should be easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just from a.
Mm-hmm. Where they're overlapping just a little bit on that side.
There's some other ones here.
But otherwise, it looks fabulous.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's
those
just my phone
be,
or.
Well, it always is going to be a little bit different on each different layout.
Right.
But
okay.
Yeah.
I'll play around with it.
Yeah, no. We're still figuring out all the sizes and some of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It just looks so much
better.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
One,
sure does.
Oh, coincidental was that?
I'm so excited.
Wow.
All right. So typically, we don't have a strong, hard, and fast format to this. We usually just kind of go around the room and start talking about ideas and suggestions that you have. One thing that's going to be a little bit different this year than we have in years past is that I've held off on a lot of this discussion on a lot of the long-term vision goals because we have the comp plan going on. And what I envision happening for you all is we put, so the budget will get completed before the comp plan wraps up, and not soon thereafter, not too far soon thereafter. I anticipate putting a flat dollar amount in the budget request for next year to deal with comp plan implementation. I think I talked a little bit about that in my email to you on Friday. So like a perfect example will be, we're going to have a bike plan as part of the comp plan, and there are things that we're going to want to put in to implement that plan, but we won't know the specifics yet, so we'll put just a placeholder dollar amount, and there may be some other things. But really that comp plan, those goals and strategies that come out of that will help with our long-term visioning and kind of be the, you know, the long-term strategic plan for the village. And so we're looking forward to that. So with that, I thought maybe the first thing we could do was talk about communication, because I know that's something we want to spend some time with, and I know Trustee Karchi had sent to John, who sent to all of you, and I think we have a hard copy.
Yep, we get our
copy. A copy of some of that preliminary information as it relates from the collaboration survey about communication. And Tom, I don't get the script of this, so.
Yep.
Yeah, no, one thing I thought was striking was one, it was a very good response. It was 712 people, and most people stayed through the whole survey, which is somewhat rare. I think what I take, and John, you can disagree, we're doing a pretty good job of communicating. A lot of the stuff that we, you know, the question, there were questions asking, are you aware of this, to see how well we're communicating?
Right.
And there was wide disparity because some of them were so, like the park districts were located at 401. You know, so some questions were so obvious it'd be hard for someone not to know that. I thought John came up with some very good questions for us, and I thought that it reflected the fact that we are doing a decent job of communicating. What was striking to me is how apparently poorly the high school is communicating. That there was so many things, like sort of fundamental things about the high school that people didn't know about and wanted to know. And the age group skewed older. It was much, it was the, I don't remember, the 45 to 50, 45 to 64,
right.
And then 65 and over were, I believe, more than 50% of the survey responses. And so that was sort of what we were aiming the whole procedure at, was to identify how do we communicate with those people that aren't intimately involved with us. So with the, for us, pretty much everyone's intimate. You know, I mean, we touch people in a whole bunch of different ways, but for the schools, most importantly, getting their value proposition out to those people whose kids don't go to the schools is really important. And I think the survey showed to me, at least, that a lot of work needs to be done to get there. It was, you know, and I know both are very conscientious. Interestingly enough, a lot of people really like to get mail. There was an indication that a lot of people felt that not we didn't mail enough. Was it the high school that didn't mail enough?
Yeah, mail ranked higher than we thought it would.
Yeah.
Mail, just in terms of preferred communications. And then we felt, you know, we kind of summarized that it reflected because really the highest ratings pretty much went to D90 and the library, who's both cited, you know, their mailers. I think the library said they do it 3 times a year. Can't remember how often the 90 said that they do it, but
I think they were 3 times a year too.
I think they're more.
No, actually, they're more than that.
Yeah, because
they
do
like monthly,
they do postcards,
yeah.
And then they do.
So it's just one of the ideas. I think, you know, another takeaway from it is that, you know, we often say that we've never been criticized for communicating too much, and these responses go along
yeah.
with that. We're telling people a lot of things. We're hearing those things. They still want to know more. So.
Another result of the survey was that, I know we're going to do it anyway, but the community calendar is something that's really desired. We're still sort of discussing how to do that because one of the challenges, obviously, you just do a link that uploads everything to every calendar, but then everything's getting lost in the clutter. So that the goal is sure is to get information to people so that they can't say they weren't informed. And now how you figure out what they want to be informed about is obviously a challenge. But a concern that I have, at least, is if we just hardwire it to everyone else's calendars, it's just going to be too much stuff. Like if you hardwire, I don't know if you ever looked at a D200 calendar, but there's everything in there. And obviously that's too much information. So that's sort of the next project for the committee is to continue to work on sort of how do we tailor the information that we're putting in the calendar. And then also where to put the calendar is another question as well.
Maybe one suggestion is to start with like board meetings and, you know, committee meetings.
Right.
Yeah.
The
only thing that I would, to structure this conversation on communication is maybe the you know, what, when, how, and why. You know, so like, you know, what do you communicate, you know, how do you communicate, which is a little bit of what we're talking about. You know, when do you communicate, right? And then why do you communicate? I think we'll kind of then create your communication kind of strategy, if you will. I mean, just to structure your, you know, this is to
yeah.
me, you know, a little bit of that, right? So what is it? What is it?
Right. And
how should we communicate?
Right. Well, the what is, I think, what we're trying to tackle right now. Which is
what
information needs to be forced down people's throats,
right.
What information should be available with some background, you know, with someone that's interested, and then, you know, what you can just don't have to talk about. So that's sort of the next challenge, and that wasn't really answered by the survey, unfortunately. But I don't know how we couldn't come up with, there's no way that you can sort of question that.
Some good written suggestions, though.
I like the one guy that complained about not having an opportunity to comment in the comment section.
Yeah. Did we talk about?
I shouldn't say it. I know it's a guy. But
I thought it was fascinating that almost 70% of the respondents were female.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most of the time, the moms or the female, you know, we're in charge of the calendars and all that other kind of stuff. So that's kind of our thing. Did we talk about if residents or stakeholders receive, you know, because we think everybody subscribes to the newspaper, everybody gets their information from the newspaper, and, you know, is that taking up some of our a role of getting information out there? Do we know if people get their information from the news, or we really didn't discern that from this survey?
We did not. That's not something. We didn't discern how people learned, because I think that was too hard a question. You know what I mean?
I mean, because I think we have to go back to the lowest common denominator. It looks like email seems to be, like, the most preferred. You know, not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody's on social media.
Or social media was
their
favorite.
And not everybody reads the newspapers, so it's like, how are we going to blast out that information? I think one thing District 90 does kind of nicely is after their board meetings, they do, like, a little synopsis of, you know, they're not minutes, but they're a synopsis of the board meeting, right, and they, you know, give them some.
Right, but that's something you have to opt into. So it's
right.
What I think we're looking for is more passive communication, so that it doesn't require, it's there if someone wants to get it, but.
But as far as Village River Forest, I mean, if we already have people's email addresses, we can.
Mm-hmm. But it's right. That's like, what's right. The size of the list? The email list for the village?
About 3,000.
So, I mean, people can always opt out of that if you decide to push information out that way.
Yeah. And we did answer some of those questions. So, I mean, to your point of preferred communications methods, and this matches response from previous surveys from us, previous surveys from the different agencies as well, pretty much in direct order: email, website, U.S. postal mail, Facebook, and then other social media. So we kind of do those things. And then one of the questions in this survey did ask about how aware you of the issues that are discussed at the board meetings of each agency. So we gauge some of that too. I think everybody kind of falls in the middle on the 1-5 scale on there. They're sort of aware, and I think what that kind of boiled down to was when there's a big issue, they know about it, otherwise probably not. So
more word of mouth in the neighborhood kind of thing, right? So I think this was an awesome kind of.
Yeah, I think the bottom line summary would be we all need to communicate better, which is something.
Yeah, we do. But I think
we're doing a fair job. We were definitely in the upper tier on when it came to satisfaction with our communication.
But I think, if I recall correctly, the whole objective of that survey was to say, what can we do collectively together, collaboratively? So we need to communicate more, which we all agree, but. You know, and it sounds like they all do want to get a single or
combined
communication package. So
I don't know that anyone, I mean, certainly the members of the collaborative committee agreed that the community calendar is a good thing. I'm not sure the website, there was another suggestion for a community website. I'm not sure that makes sense. But I don't know that they've all gotten buy-in from their respective boards. I mean, I think there hasn't been anything concrete yet. But definitely I think that the calendar would be step one.
So can we make calendar as
objective goal?
A pilot?
An objective, exactly.
Right. I think
then let's use that. And so how do we do it? You know, that's a good question. And I assume we would carry the calendar,
Yeah. So the idea is all the events, meetings.
Yeah, probably board meetings.
Right, exactly. Who would be everyone, all the taxing bodies.
And then
right, and from what John tells me, that there is ways now where the concern we had is basically maintenance. We didn't want the village having someone that's like picking and choosing. But again, we're back to if you just do a hot feed from each of the websites, it's too much information. So I think we have to figure out filters. I think
start with meetings, like events.
So the wording we used last time in the goal session was include a community calendar in the new website that highlights meetings and event information from governmental partners in the report.
Right.
So
that's all we're talking
about. I think the only small departure is that we now, I think, realize that in order for it to be successful, it needs to just be slightly separate from our website, right? So that it's the River Forest community calendar that includes our information, also everybody else's information. So rather than just being on our website, I think we view it as a separate website. But other than that,
how are you going to get that done?
a separate website or the same thing on everybody's website?
Who's going to maintain that and manage it?
So the idea would be that you would buy a domain, rfweb.com or whatever it is, and we load the website there to feature a calendar and a couple of different views that is simply subscribed to the calendars of each agency. So you'll see on our website now, we have what's called an RSS feed. You link to that. You go to Cubs.com, you can link to their schedule. Yeah. And that way, anytime they update that, you automatically get that update on your calendar. So what we as a village would do would head up that effort of building that, and then we would task each agency with developing the feed for their agency. Some of them already have it. Some of them need to develop it. The point that Trustee Kargi brought up, though, is that the last hurdle to make is delving down into making sure that we get the filtering right so that it's not unbelievably overwhelming, so that somebody could drill down a little bit. And that just comes down to making sure that each layer you want to drill down to it would need to have its own feed.
Well, why, like, to your point, though, I mean, who do we really care? I mean, if I'm in my River Forest, let's say, and I'm in the calendar, and you've got all these links to 200, and I just hit 200 calendar.
Or we don't want to make it links. We want to make it so everybody, it'd be like a color-coded calendar for each day that shows on what's going on in each of the different agencies.
And then it would list the meetings.
Essentially for planning purposes, you'd know.
But if you were looking at everything, and it was every part district event and 290 event, if you're 200 event, it might get a little bit overwhelming. So being able to filter those a little bit, we think, is going to be important.
District class that particular day, that list would get very long.
So are you guys then okay with maybe, you know, taking that as a goal for this year is to take the community calendar and work with our colleagues and get this kind of off the ground? I mean, it's not going to get perfect, but we'll certainly get on the ground.
Sounds like John has a handle on what he needs to do. So.
We wanted to get our website up first, and then we're going to turn our developer toward this project. And like I said, I think we started. Our feed loaded in there, and a couple others that already have some feeds, and then hopefully we can get some buy-in rolling where then the other agencies want to get their feed on the website. And you know, we've talked about maybe we can add in a way to have like the Medicare Concordia or other organizations that have fiscal basis the ability to be on that website as well.
So is that going to be
cost sharing?
I was going to say cost, and is that like
cost
self-regulated though? How are we going to regulate that?
I don't think. My sense would be the cost of building it is probably minimal in that, I shouldn't say minimal, but it's probably under $20,000, right? So, you know, I think it's enough for us to take the lead on and pay for that. And then the maintenance really moving forward is somewhat minimal because you're really just building it to pull all this stuff in. The success of it is going to rest on all the other agencies continuing to put stuff in. Like, I looked at D90s the other day. They didn't have a lot on their calendar.
Right.
So
they have a feed available.
Right.
You know, we had ours up. I could pull them in today. And they D200, the park district, they already have those feeds available.
So the initial, I think, item where I have to work through is just making sure every entity is actually using their calendars. Because we can get them to do that, I think we can build the system.
I think the township isn't, and the park district doesn't either. I think we're the two that form.
What it would do is it would allow us to put the burden of updating the calendars on each agency. So as long as you're keeping your website up to date, the master website's up to date.
Then it doesn't need to be the central person.
Right.
And that
was,
which is what the breakdown is.
So then, just a devil's advocate questions. And how, as a resident, will I know, okay, I got to go to this website for this calendar? I mean, are we going to advertise on each one of these? Our website says, here, if you want a community calendar, go to rf.com.
That's the plan.
Okay.
Billboards.
Door hangers.
Nailers.
But what you saw when everybody promoted something, all six agencies promoted something like this, it got a lot of clicks.
Yeah.
I mean, and then 700 people that decided to take it. So we do the same thing. Everybody rolls it out.
Got to start somewhere.
I was going to say, if you build it, hopefully they will come, right? I mean, if we start the process.
Well, I think that's why we did this, Carmela. It wasn't like we just thought of it.
Right.
It sounds like
if we start the process, then we, you're not going to get 100% participation.
People find it useful.
Right.
So.
So So you, would you envision, so calendar would stay on the website like it is today, ours, mm-hmm. and then perhaps under calendar could even be a drop-down of community-wide calendar link that would then take people to
that website.
Yeah. That website.
And Eric's been trying to come up with a clever domain name, so if you got anything good,
let's well, you got to see what's available.
For 5 years.
Should just see what's available.
We need some catching.
Yeah, right.
And I have to say, JT did a really nice job. I think that they did, were very professional. James was a good guy, and, you know, we could be a pain.
They could be a pain? Or?
No, we could.
Oh,
the members
yeah.
of the committee.
So then, Tom, is this something that, that you're going to go back with and
yeah.
Eric and talk about how we can
well, that's,
those,
the goal was to have the, to sort of have this come out of the collaborative committee
yeah.
moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm all in. I'm just saying, is that, so that's your next step is, since we're in agreement, it just makes sense. Right, because you're just coming back
yeah.
now and saying, here's the results of this survey.
Well, I thought this was kind of premature. I wasn't ready to sort of make a formal request yet. I think there's still some things we need to work on at the collaborative committee before we
well, I was thinking, I'm talking about calendar.
I know.
Oh, well,
yeah.
you think that's the way ahead? Okay.
Do you, Jen?
I mean, I don't know. I think we have a vision. I'm not sure that it's where everybody's
sure.
at. But I think,
well, then next meeting,
but I think we're close.
Okay.
You know, the other thing, too, that I would just mention is that this meeting was last week where we got these results back and this report from JT. From that meeting, there was just a couple of things that came up that people thought would be useful.
Yeah, there was more information we've asked them. Or to ask, to give them different tabs.
Everything's in SurveyMonkey, so just a couple of different drill downs and snapshots of, you know, okay, everybody said yes to this question. What did they say to that question? There's a couple of those that we're waiting on from JT. That'll kind of finalize this report, and then when we come back with that group in January, we hope to develop the next step after everybody's had a chance to go back to their board and talk about it, as we did here tonight. And I think everybody will be on board with that. So.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was sort of ready for. I thought we were still working on it. I didn't know Jen's more confident than I am, apparently.
So we can set this as our goal, and you'll go back with your committee,
yeah,
kind
right.
of work on it, and say this is what we're hoping to achieve. You know, kind of spur the.
Yes,
rest of them to kind
right.
of
right.
Okay. No, I think everyone's all in. I think it's just getting them to catch up. I mean, I think it was eye opening for some of the agencies, some of the results of the surveys. But I don't think there's any objection to this. I think it's just organizing.
When
yeah.
we do notifications, we can pop up notifications for emergencies, right? Within the village.
You said what kind
pop
of
pop up notifications on the
pop
phone.
Up. Okay. We do the well. So when Blackboard. Send a Blackboard notification, we've got three ways to do it, either via phone, via email, or via text.
Oh, okay.
Those.
So we don't have any of the...
I think what you're thinking of is like a push notification.
That's the push notification.
No.
None of those. Because
no.
once in a while, you know, hey, did you fill out your survey? You don't want to bug people to death, but we do have enough things going on in the village where you could do that and say, hey, well, this is going on, we have the one for the map that we'd like people to do. Because
right.
for people that don't go to the website, it would be an indication or a push to say, hey, go to the website, and this is what's going on in the village.
Mm-hmm. One of the things we're working on and evaluating is, you know, 5-6 years ago, we had done that app. We had done our
yes.
Force app,
yeah.
and we had that capability.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like any new development, the app went on, the company went under, and
oh,
you know,
right.
went bye-bye.
Right.
So we've been working, John's been working with our GIS consortium, and they have a service request module that we've been working on and trying to implement. So this is one of the other things that the website's rolled out.
Yes, it's
we're kicking the tires on that as well.
It's really the service request side that allows somebody to submit a service request and have a little bit more of an updated experience on how that works, track it, get the email back, make an update, things like that. But then on top of that, it has the ability to come out of the mobile app with a couple of features in there. The tough part with push notifications is you're still only going to reach everybody that downloaded
right.
the mobile app and allowed the push notifications. So you could
it's
certainly
narrow.
Get some, but I think that group that you would get is probably a group of already pretty highly engaged residents, which is why the benefit of having the email, phone call, text, that's a little less...
Well, River Forest gets younger and younger, which it seems like it is. We'll get more people who are more savvy about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Just a thought.
All right, so we talked about the events and under the community calendar. We talked about board recaps. That's another thing I know I talked to the village president about, and either on a monthly or on like an every other meeting basis, similar to what D90 does, putting on a recap of what we've done to answer this issue of what's going on, not so much from a community event standpoint, but from like a legislative standpoint, where there seemed to be a little disconnect. So that was an idea.
Yep. Well, we kind of changed the little
one thing in line that I think would be helpful too. I don't know how quickly time frame wise we always know what's going to maybe be on an upcoming agenda, but besides hearing the highlight after the fact, I think it's helpful for people to know in advance of a meeting.
Okay.
Well, we'd probably even, if at ever possible, before the Friday. I don't know if that's, you know, just in terms of wanting to, you know, because the reality is it's on the agenda on Friday, but how many people are really going and checking the agenda, and if we can kind of push out to them in advance, whenever possible, topics that they might want to actually come to the meeting to hear about.
Kind of changed the letter a little bit to kind of put him in that focus. But yeah.
Can we talk about emergency communication, kind of what Susan alluded to, but, you know, just based on some issues that have happened in the past week or so.
Okay.
You know, I know internally there's a plan for how events get communicated, and God forbid there's ever a safety issue where people need to know immediately that there's a concern, you know, you have that ability to notify people, like a lockdown type situation and that kind of stuff. So I think it's important to maybe just publicly state what that emergency communication policy is and sort of share with people how it works, so that people are a little more at ease with, you know, we know with social media things get out of whack and rumor mill starts, and we, it's sometimes hard to catch up with that ahead of time.
We've got calendars, we've got information about the board on a proactive and a reactive type basis. We've got emergency communications. What else?
I just went to emergency alerts on the website. There's nothing there.
Although you did have that situation.
Yeah, just.
So you mean the sign up?
No, if I go to news and then go to emergency alerts.
I thought there was.
A,
so, but it'd be nice to say what it is.
In the event of an emergency, this is what you'll see under emergency
alerts. Yeah, right.
Right. It's whatever you categorize the news story as, puts it in those sections, and the emergency alerts is a time thing, but you're right, it should say what and when it is there. I understand.
I don't know if this qualifies under communication, but it's more infrastructure. But we talked about village-wide Wi-Fi at one point.
That was one of mine.
Yeah. I mean, how do we, where would that fall as far as how do we research the ability to do that, or if it's possible?
Well, I get the first question I would probably ask you is, what problem are we trying to solve by doing that?
Well, I'm not sure it's a problem. I just think it's being proactive.
Yeah,
it would help with development.
I actually put it on economic development or improving, you know, because especially in light of what the FCC appears to be doing, which is to create unregulated oligopolies in the ISPs, I was thinking about it, and I'm wondering if we couldn't coordinate or partner up with others. I mean, I do think in reflecting on it, I do think it's probably more than we're biting off more than we can chew. But I'm wondering if through the Illinois Municipal League or anything else like that,
well,
if that's something that's sort of bubbling up.
Yeah, they're talking about smart cities is what they're saying. And smart cities, this basically, you know, combining, right, you know, village-wide internet, or with communications with the police and fire. So, I mean, it's definitely being talked about. I mean, there's, other than the city of Chicago and maybe a few small other communities, I don't know of it being, you know,
being implemented quickly. Because it's a very costly.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate it even last year being implemented quickly, but I don't think it's something we should probably do on our own.
Yeah, I think we should look into more of the smart city discussion.
It will be interesting, too, to see how that, if what feedback we get on that from the comp plan as well, from residents. The other thing that...
It's more than just village-wide Wi-Fi, smart cities. I mean, it's part of it. Okay.
Yeah.
This one, bigger.
The only thing that I could share that would be somewhat, not even maybe just marginally close to that, is at one point we looked at as a staff at creating a Wi-Fi, kind of a mesh network for our utility system. So the idea being is that your utility reads, instead of being a read, so right now you're,
right.
Just to give everyone a recap, your water meters are read by one of our public works operators going in their truck, driving down and being on an RF radio frequency, being able to pull that signal in. So we do that once a month. We do a full radio read every month. And so you would be able to, and that's when we find problems in town, right? So if there's something, a major leak or someone's got a major issue, that's when we'll determine it. You could build a mesh network throughout the town, and you would be getting basically water information in real time through the village. So if you had a leak, you'd be able to get on top of that right away. So we actually looked at some creative funding strategies for that. The challenge we had was that the companies that were partnering with the companies that we use for all the water meters and all that related technology basically would come in and say, look, we'll do all these water meter replacements and we're going to be able to give you so much efficiency, you'll be able to basically pay for it through the efficiency of the system. Because our water meters are very well kept up to date and our system is very well managed, there's not enough loss in the system for someone to come in and then try to put this thing together, so we have to pay for it
but you wouldn't be able to get rid of one person, right, if you had that? I'm assuming you no longer need the guy that drives around, but I'm assuming he does other things.
No, I mean, it's more of a, you wouldn't
change
get a lot of
meters.
Efficiency on the water meter side, but I mean, we have only one FTE that handles all the utility billing, so I don't see...
Oh, billing.
Yeah, I wouldn't see any reduction of that. It would just allow us to go ahead and proactively address issues and then help a little bit with the streamlining of billing, or you could go online and see what your water usage was for the last week or something.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I'm not recommending that. I'm that's the only close thing that I could come to if something we talked to on the staff.
Yeah, when Elmwood Park went to the hexagram system, that was a costly proposition, but they changed out all the meters. It was read through the telephone lines basically, and it was real-time reads. You could tell every morning, you could tell drawdown reads if people were over consumption, you know, you'd be able to address those. But it was quite a long-term process and costly process, but I think that's probably something that's future on the radar for us to do.
So Eric, back to the overall communication, and I know we chatted a little bit about, but I'd love to get everyone's input here, is that, you know, communication, we think of it as a kind of a starts and stops, and it really doesn't. It's kind of, it goes through basically everything we do, regardless of whether it's economic development or utility billing, everything gets communicated in one or more fashions, and I keep saying it's kind of, if we do a project, whether it's the North Side Stormwater Project or a TIF, it has to have a communication component in it always, and it's kind of what we do, you know. It's just, and it's not set aside. It's kind of integrated in everything we do, and that's kind of how I vision the, and that's why we're struggling with it, because it's like, well, you know, okay, we're done with that communication, but it's really not. It's kind of, if you're to think of it as a process, it sits somewhere probably in the front, the middle, and the end.
It needs to be systemic.
Yeah, systemic, right, exactly. And that's exactly what, you know, it's part of the process. So I think we just have to think that as, and maybe JT can help us a little bit with it, but is what should that process be? You know, when you are looking at that piece in the chain of events that need to happen. Now, the critical events that have to happen in a project, communication might be more.
Communication.
Right, exactly. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where are we on our work, on our goal setting?
session, just on communications.
We're just on communication. So we're, yeah, we're talking about whatever you guys want to talk about, but I thought we'd kick it off with communication.
Because of
Tom had been working on the.
How do we do with the notification of accidents in town or street closures or, you know, those types of mundane things that happen on a daily basis? I know at one time we were really trying to put that out there. Now we have our new website. Are we able to get that information out to residents real time? So if streets are blocked or, you know, streets are going to be closed, we're being proactive with that?
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of it is certainly project specific, independent. So a lot of that goes back to construction projects. So in that, we're sending postcards. We've got mailers going out. We're doing door hangers. For example, would be the water main project that took place over at River Oaks and Auburn. So the engineer is sending out repeated communication to them. They have an email list, email updates. And so in that regard, we're doing a lot of white glove customer service.
Again, a great example of communication candy project, right?
Right.
You know, you did the sewer project.
Right. Yeah, but even just on a yearly basis, like water main project, street resurfacing, servicing, things like that.
I'm talking about just something comes up that we didn't plan. There's a water main break, and, you know, we're going to have a closure.
Well, those are those alerts, right?
Yeah. So on alert, we have the ability to go ahead and send, send out an email to everyone within, you know, two things. The GIS system is starting to let us know, based on where a water main break is, what valves do we have to turn off automatically, and then who's isolated within that water turnoff. So we'd be able to then share that into the Blackboard system and send out a notification. A lot of times we're able to really pinpoint it and try to minimize that. And for a water main break, a lot of times the operators are going door to door still and notifying people as well. And I don't see that changing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so Blackboard, the notification tool, lets us circle houses.
Right.
So we can circle up a couple of blocks that we know are affected, and we can send that out to them. Additionally, with the construction projects, a lot of the stuff, especially the planned stuff, Village Engineer does an excellent job of keeping that stuff up to date on the website. We've made it a lot more common on the new website, so it's easier to find, and hopefully more people will see it. And then one of the other abilities that we have with the new website is really twofold. One, it's called GIS Story Maps, which allows that to, instead of just being text in a news story, to be a visual thing that somebody can zoom in and see and click on. And then on top of that, the ability to more easily change URLs so that when Jeff goes out to start a project, he can tell everybody, I'm going to update this daily. You can find it at brf.us/keystone-resurfacing or whatever the project is. To be able to find a lot of that stuff more easily. On the more emergency stuff, we do still use that a lot. I think a good example is probably when we had to close Chicago Avenue this summer, when the river came up, you know, where we were able to get maps out of that to everybody.
That worked good.
In that case, we sent it to the whole village.
Right.
But we were able to get all that stuff out. In that case, when it's a little more isolated, instead of just doing emails, we do need the text and the phone calls to all the contacts we have.
Okay, anything else on communication?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, do you have a tutorial that, like, if people were to click on Village of River Forest, a little quick video would say, and show you where? I wouldn't say that. it would show you where to click, like, if you're looking for the news, it would show you the menu, where to click, where it would take you, et cetera. So if someone isn't as comfortable going through a website, they can quickly go through
how to use a website.
How to use the River Forest website.
Right, the new website.
The area. I mean, I'm just looking at.
That would be pricey.
You think so? Really? If it was like a 3-minute video?
Oh, we did. We could probably do something.
Yeah.
John's very photogenic.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't even see John. You would just see
the
computer screen and the mouse.
Yeah.
He's just talking.
It would show you, it would like click.
Highlight what most people would probably
want
to go and find.
Especially with the news and the emergency alerts. Because that's not right on the front sheet.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I think 3 minutes might be a little
off. Probably not. You'd be surprised.
Data shows that people will tend to go off of the video unless they know what to anticipate after about 30 seconds to 60 seconds. That's about all.
one last thing that's communication and economic development at the same time, YouTube videos of businesses, and that's like a new thing that some communities are doing, where they're highlighting and profiling some of their businesses.
That was actually
that's
something
good.
I
yeah.
had on my business spotlight.
So it's
to try and promote our businesses
yeah.
more.
Look at the Elmwood Park YouTube. So I think I share
How
that with you.
How often would you do that?
They're just
monthly,
doing it once
weekly?
A month, yeah.
Probably one a month.
So it kind of gives you know a nice highlight of the community, and you can spotlight.
They have a special event
thing.
Coming
right.
up or something. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Some more video.
Yeah.
Well, I like it when we bring the teams in and the groups of kids or the
yeah.
Eagle Scouts, that kind of thing.
That's true.
You know, we're taking the photographs. You know, you could, if YouTube works on the village website, you know every parent's going to tell their friends and grandma and grandpa.
Right.
They can
right.
see it from wherever grandma and grandpa live. So,
that's true.
All right. All right, so covered communications, moving on. We talked a little bit about smart city, village Wi-Fi. Anything else, anything on a technology basis, any technology items that come to mind that you had on your list?
Yeah, my only question was, are we fully exploiting the GIS thing? You know, not just for sort of internal uses, but for commercial uses or things like that. I don't know. I just, it was one of the things that struck me.
So, and part of this, if you haven't seen it, is we finally have on the website the tie into the GIS system. So if you go to brf.us, there's a section where you can put in your address down here. If you type in your address, that will tie you into the My Community portal. That is your GIS system. And so right now, we're keeping it pretty high level. You know, your zoning information, who your elected officials are. What else? What else we got?
Yes, so the map
kind
of shows you all the different options. You know,
parking, recycling,
garbage pickup.
Right
here.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's the Glen Ellyn website is cool because the GIS system ties into like traffic. You know, it'll give you. It's really cool. It's very interactive. It gives you real-time information.
I mean, as I said, I don't know that there is other ways to exploit it, but
we're
you know,
use,
just
we're
the
use
opportunity.
It.
If we have the information, information is power.
No, I agree. We just
well, that's what
tree
that's
tree
what makes
ones.
A smart city.
Right.
Data, trees. More data, better.
So we've got so the other two things we started doing was the trees. So we've started inventorying all of our parkway trees. We start on the south side of town. Couple things. We do an inventory of the tree, the condition, the species. It allowed also for us to put together a bid spec, so when we went out to bid, the people bidding on the work actually had specific, okay, this is the condition of the tree, here's what you have to do on this particular tree. So we're going to do that for the rest of the town, so then we have that built in and baked into the GIS. And then some of that crime mapping data, we're still finalizing that, and that will be on a well,
this is really cool. We got to advertise this.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean we're very proud of that. I mean that's, we've put a lot of time spent on that, and
that's very smart use of the information too.
Yeah. And so the nice part, to your point, Tom, and this kind of goes to the smart city, is that as we add more and more information, I mean you have communities in the GIS consortium that have been in there 20 and 25 years, and they have not yet run out of things that they can have.
Now, you talked about the business spotlight, which is cool. What about a first responder recommendation?
Employees,
you know,
yeah.
Like a police safety tip or
employee of the
Christmas
month.
Time, safety things from the fire department for, you know, Christmas tree,
water.
That kind
of
thing. You know, yeah, water your tree, don't burn your house
right.
down.
You're
instead of cable, we
yeah,
have,
yeah.
It, we have YouTube.
Because we do a lot of that already, but we do it in more static information.
Yeah.
Right.
No, if John says these videos are not over burdensome to produce, right?
Right.
Are they difficult? I mean, I don't know.
No. I mean, here, I think people have, this is my take. You're my technology guru, but I'll say this. I think people have, they're not. I think he's here as well. Just make Wi-Fi work.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. I don't think people are looking for Hollywood production.
No.
Right? No, I think people just want information.
Basic information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we can do that on our camera that we have or our cell phone
And you know, we got new faces now. Tonight we'll have a new police chief, we'll have a new fire chief.
Right.
It kind of dovetails to introduce these guys now to the town.
Yeah.
I mean, Eggert and Weiss have been around forever. Here's the new fire chief with the safety tip for Christmas time. You know, here's the new police chief.
And
probably don't want to lead the video with that time.
No, but you know what I mean. I mean, they're going
to
see these fellas on the street. They're not going to realize they're the new chiefs.
They put the face, but the name.
And you don't want just the chief. You want the guys on the street too, so that maybe the kids.
That was just one example.
But I like this. That's really nice.
I don't think they're difficult. They're certainly doable. I think they can be deceivingly time-consuming at times, but they're certainly doable.
I've also wondered, though, even just as far as staff, was there a reason that they're not necessarily pictured on the website?
All the staff.
They're shy.
There is a reason?
They should be. Pictures of the...
I mean, our philosophy has been we prefer to lay low. Well, because it's not about us. It's about how we're serving residents. So there's definitely some positions where I don't necessarily think we want to have faces out there. I think in the police department, there's an advantage to some positions being like that. But
department heads should have their pictures on the village website.
Yeah, we could do that.
It kind of, I mean, if you're a citizen, like,
right.
You know,
yeah, and
you're
just
calling
up,
it puts a face on the voice that we're talking to. I like that.
Would body cams be technology?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that something that we are pursuing and grant opportunities for those? And what's the...
Any union problems with us?
I don't
know.
Yeah, that's
so
status.
We talked about it a lot in the CFP. We talked about it as it relates to department equipment and technology CIP. The cameras, the body cameras, the legal issues are certainly one thing. The storage of the video is quite another. The retention of the video, the preservation of the quality of the video. And we're talking about a significant investment. And I think there's still a lot of research, and I certainly can ask the existing and the new chief to comment on this. There's still a lot of research that needs to go into how to work out some of these issues. Privacy concerns, there's employee disciplinary concerns, there's procedural concerns. I think it's a little ways to get there until you kind of work out some of these wrinkles. Our approach so far has been to continue to watch it, explore it, and see what other communities are doing, what successes and struggles that they're having before jumping into that kind of an investment, and to see whether or not it's really solving the problem it's intended to solve.
Do we have dashboard cameras?
Yeah, all the cars have dashboard cameras. So what more of the encounter would you get if you had the body cam?
You're away from the car.
Right.
Kathy, is that at the IML level? Is that going to be mandatory at some point? I mean, Chicago just fully implemented theirs. That's why I'm asking.
No, IML is not even addressing it for all the other.
I don't see it.
It's not. So to answer your question, no, I don't think you're going to see a state mandate. I think Chicago needed to do something dramatic.
Okay. The other thing I have done, to your point, Tom, is that we have spent a considerable amount of money updating the in-car cameras, the Panasonic Arbitrator system. It is a very, if you ever have a chance and you're on the second floor of Village Hall, go talk to soon-to-be Chief O'Shea or Sergeant Grill. Sergeant Grill at his desk has four or five monitors, and he can go in live at any point to see what those squads are doing at that time. So we had an incident this summer where there was a traffic stop, person fled, we pursued, and we could, Sergeant Grove was able to watch that happen in real time and call in radio help and help guide all that along for the officer, almost provide like you had another officer in the car with them. Mm-hmm. And the video quality is incredible.
Right.
It's like watching it.
It's HD video. But the storage of the HD video, particularly as over time, you're going to retain more and more video footage,
mm-hmm.
so your storage network on the back end.
Is there audio footage?
Cops have a mic on.
So if you decide to do the dashboard camera, you're then required to retain the video for X number of time?
We retain 30 days unless we mark it for a longer retention period.
Is that
but
our own policy, or is that a broader, you have to keep the footage for so long?
I think, I'm not sure, Jim can probably speak to it better. If there's some other mandate that says 30 days is the minimum, that may be
is that network sufficient now? Are you good?
It's sufficient, and it's capable of being built out, but you'll see in the CIP that we have to continually budget for servers and SANs.
Now, the street cameras and all those being stored, the views from the streetlight cameras? Same policy?
Yeah, I mean,
more or less?
Not always long-term, but it's something that's more for the The nice ability, too, is new ones have some pretty sizable so if something happens to the network, we can go back and get about 3 days on that camera locally. They have a memory card that is literally like an SD card you put in your phone, only it's huge. So it's pretty impressive.
All right. What other ideas do people have about it?
I should talk about it.
So a couple things I know came up before, and a quick question about Harlem's viaduct.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when that grant was supposed to be announced, perhaps?
I don't remember when it was supposed to come back, but
I don't think they sent an announce date on it. These are my last questions.
So, I mean, I have no idea what kind of cost you would be looking at to do it, but it seems like when I was reading somewhere that the study about that viaduct was done in like 2009, so we're close to 10 years and nothing happening. So on the off chance that we don't get the grant, we can't do the full repair, is there any way to look at what it would cost to do something similar to what Oak Park did at Oak Park Avenue and Marion? Just by putting in, you know, they have that metal, it's like an archway, and then it's the great sign on the side. More decorative with some more interesting lighting, just kind of makes it more...
Yeah, clean it up.
Clean it up, invite, you know, they've got along the track themselves, it says Oak Park at Oak Park, it says Marion, just kind of nice.
Well, yeah, but I think we've got other viaducts I'd like to, in River Forest.
Oh, no, I know, that was
you
my
know,
other thing, too,
spend
was, and
money,
I know
I
you
think
mentioned
we
it at
spend
the last
money
meeting,
in
doing the viaducts. Oak and
ones that are
Chicago Avenue are terrible.
What's
yeah
actually happening there? What construction's going on that's still blocking all that traffic?
At Harlem.
On Harlem?
Yeah, at the
Oak Park project.
So, but it's blocked on our side of the street?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had numerous conversations with our engineers.
Okay.
I made the mistake of going there today.
Yeah,
but
it's
at
crazy.
Harlem, I would think Oak Park, especially with building the building on South Boulevard, that they would want a more inviting back and forth there.
Oak Park wants it. Forest Park wants it. Everybody wants it.
No, I know. So I'm just saying, if this doesn't go through, why wait another how many years? I get you don't want to spend money and have something redone, but
yeah, we can make it free.
We're looking at another 10 years before the viaduct gets done. Could we do something
yeah,
nice
we can make
in
it
the
pretty,
meantime?
But it's still crumbling infrastructure.
It's not the right way to do it.
South Boulevard and Harlem,
yeah.
They have no idea how the configuration of the street's going to work out.
Street lighting and street signs. I know we had talked about updating the street signs, actually making them maybe bigger or some, you know, just a little bit more visible. At night, it's just impossible to see the names of the streets. And then I know we just updated our bulbs, but you know, this is a new topic now with safety. Our streets are really dark.
You know, that came up the other day at one of the comp plan sessions, and it was interesting because I've been more sensitive to it, and then like I compare it to where I live,
right,
and like this place is far and above brighter than
really
yeah, like I in my neighborhood, not granted I live in a much different community, but I mean I've got one old metal halide on one end and one on the other end.
Riverside has natural gas.
Yeah.
So, but we've had a lot. We have several streetlights, and they're brighter now with the new bulbs in there.
But it still is dimmer
still
than
dark.
Oak Park.
The bigger
yeah
streets
I'm not sure I want it to be as bright as Oak Park,
no,
but it is notably different when you cross.
And Oak Park is a lot more of those boulevard lights, too, the overhanging.
Right.
But even side streets.
Like
oh no, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying though.
I don't know.
It's just hard to see.
I agree with Carmella. I think street signs could help.
Street
I mean, they are
be,
kind
yeah
of hard to read.
We
bigger.
You mentioned the traffic safety
with our logo on
prettier
today.
So
yes.
To go with the one last line on the lights. Can we clear the? Can we make an effort to clear the trees from some of the fixtures? Some of them are. I know they do an effort to do that, but
you mean cut
so
the
trim
bank
the branches?
Yeah, we
trimming
have some branches
that
kind of swallow some
yeah
of the, and it does kind of darken some. I mean, one branch will
right
take away
right
a
yeah
third of a streetlight.
It is amazing.
Right.
And, you know, anyway.
And I have a collaboration idea,
okay,
and then there's traffic and safety that I think we wanted to discuss because you said we did.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think there was something else.
And the cleanup with the viaducts, the other viaducts too, so Harlem and looking at Oak and Chicago's viaduct to do something to it.
Let me throw out the collaboration idea.
Okay.
Talking to some of my neighbors and just thinking about all the big things that have been happening, comp plan, perhaps a viaduct, park district and whatever. It seems like it might be a good opportunity this year to have like a forum where we collaborate with all the taxing bodies in a one big meeting at Roosevelt, have the residents submit their concerns and what you want to talk about, put an agenda together, and then all of us together could talk in a kind of a panel style together and see where we might want to go as a village. So invite the residents, invite their ideas, have the boards put down their main concerns and what's going on, and then have a back and forth between all of us for a couple of hours.
Joint meeting of all the River Forest government units.
Yeah, so 90, the library, the park district, the township, and ourselves.
We did that a year ago, May, right?
Yeah.
Was that only a year ago?
Was it a year or 2 years ago?
No, it was 2 years ago.
In May.
Because I think it every couple years.
Not May of 17, but 16.
Was it everybody?
Didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what led to Tom's committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it over.
It seems like it was longer than that.
No,
because I was back on by then. So
good idea.
I mean, there's enough things going on Madison and North, and just for us to probably discuss with people.
But I do think we should add 200 to that list too.
Okay.
That meeting.
District 200.
They were on it before.
Because no, was Susan's list was.
I did.
But they were part of it.
I assume the same public bodies you dealt with.
But is that going to be part of our comp plan or not really?
No, I think
this is just coming up with ideas.
Yeah, I think it's like a
separate track.
I think it goes back to just keeping contact with our other agencies.
And bringing the residents into that too. I think that could be part of the communications. And then I liked your idea about reviewing all the streets and the stop signs and the parking, kind of making it more uniform and make more sense out of it. I think that'd be a good goal.
But that's comp plan, right?
That's something that's probably going to come out of the comp plan, but I think we can start to get into that part. And I think it's two components. I think you're looking at, well, actually three components. One of it's parking, two, it's general traffic and safety measures, stop signs, yield signs, and what that whole flow is. So right now we are very lasered in on whatever that request is for that resident.
Right.
And so I think just looking at now, this is not going to be the inexpensive effort, but I think looking at something globally makes more sense.
Yep.
And then three, as part of that or independent of that, is also looking, and I think they speak to that a little bit, across the school program as well. That we partner with the school district. I had a conversation with the superintendent just today and talking about all this stuff globally and looking at our private and public schools and coming up with, like we did at Franklin and
Oak.
Thank you, Oak. Just blank there for a second. I mean, I think that is a good way to strategize on that particular intersection, but the reality is there are other intersections that are all connected all over the place. And so I think looking at all that and coming up with, okay, here are the plans for each school and for the path for each kid to get to their school.
We've all done it always piecemeal.
Yes.
It's a long time coming.
Did you want us to submit lists to you like we've done in the past?
Yeah, if you've got more stuff that we can't get to today, we'll add it to the list.
Do you want us to touch on what we have on our list?
Yeah, why don't you say what you've got so we can hear it.
Right.
Okay. So, is that all you have?
That's all I have.
Okay. All right, Mike.
Okay, we talked about the village-wide review of the parking. Also, I'd like to add to that possible pay parking areas around the colleges to encourage getting the cars off the streets. Friends of mine along Keystone and Forest and that over by Dominican are telling me about increases in the up and down street traffic when things are going on at Dominican. It's easier to park on their street instead of going into the lot. Possible improvements, suggestions from you guys on added or reduced restrictions. I know we talked about when the Mercury Theater was at the northeast corner on the Elmwood Park side, there were all these parking restrictions put in that neighborhood. Now the theater's gone, and it's still, you know, do the people in those areas still want those?
Right.
They might not think that they could ask to have them taken away if they don't want them. What police or village staff might view as hot zones in the village that we should know about that, maybe act on it.
Hot zones for what?
Congestion areas that the residents might not be telling us about, but if the police or public works knows about pinch points that maybe, you know, I'd rather open communication from them as well. The feasibility of, I know, dirty words, speed cameras along the Lake Street corridor by Jewel and the park across the street and by Keystone. Huh?
You're prohibited by law.
You're prohibited.
Really?
You
okay.
Yay.
Good talk. That's why I said feasibility.
It was like municipality of 2 million or something was the way they wrote the law for Chicago.
For Chicago, yeah.
Oh, okay. Serious consideration to move public works out of town and open up the current public works property back to the tax rolls. The new townhouses have changed the dynamic of that block. I know that's your favorite topic.
We'd love a solution.
I'd see
a
solution.
What's that?
We would love a solution.
Yeah.
We can talk later. Because maybe we could basically prevent us from doing that through zoning, right?
Sorry?
Maybe we could prevent us from doing that by zoning.
Unless they were okay with it.
Well, why would they want to get property taken off of their rolls?
Well, in particular, there's that golf thing right there that's a landfill that no one's ever going to buy.
Someone's still paying taxes on it, I think.
Yeah, I don't know how much they're getting if it's vacant property, though.
All right, let's go. We're moving. Is that it? Okay. Patty, any more for you other than the viaducts?
When
you
talk about the viaducts, you're talking about more just the cleanup of it,
cleanup.
Like we did on Lake Street.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Mike had mentioned that before.
Yeah, no, I know. It was brought up.
So, Susan, anything else? You said no. Kathleen, anything you said?
No, I think they were all addressed already. Right.
I was going to share what sustainability committee had, but I'll let them do that in January.
Can I just add property maintenance program? I know we're non-home rules, so we can't do minimum standards, but somehow just doing minimum, somehow trying to get some property standards together.
They did the hard work. I'm just reading off the piece of paper.
I still want to be able to have our commissions and committees come in once a year and just kind of report to us and give us some feedback as to what's going on, how they're doing, some of the successes they've had. I would like to also talk about that. I've just been seeing some Facebook chatter about the railroad issues. Still, those trains idlings are actually shaking people's homes, and they're just distraught about it. So I don't know how we can. Yes. No. On.
We talked about that, right? The idling and the whizzing by at 2
in
the morning.
But I mean, still people are like experiencing the shaking in the middle of the night, and they can't figure out why their houses are shaking. So
where
that's
are you talking? By Keystone or by the Jewel?
No, on the train on Central. There.
Yeah, on Central.
Yeah.
And then.
They've been doing it by Jewel for years now. It drives me crazy.
What's the other one I had? Just general streetscape, wayfinding signs, branding, et cetera. Those are some comments that came up in the comp plan comments. Maybe looking at our entryways and making those consistent, our welcoming corners. And then it seemed like the comments from the comp plan talked about some of the businesses were feeling a little less love from us, so maybe helping getting our EDC to really help work on how we get our business community involved. And
Chairman O'Connell brought that up in Friday's meeting about trying to engage, figuring out
the business community. And I was actually asked about facade program, which we could talk about as part of our TIF.
Yep.
Under streetscape, I wondered about the possibility of looking into like a sponsor program to help offset some of the cost of sponsoring the flower pot. The chamber just did the decorations.
They
did Oak Park sponsoring.
The chamber did Oak Park.
Banner.
Banner.
Get on that. I can't believe the chamber did the old park one. That matters.
Exactly.
The streets, yeah, the chamber.
Take it up with Kathy.
I will. Thank you for telling me.
Does MB Bank know that we could deliver garbage?
Oh, she posted pictures all excited. Look, sponsor.
Oh, my God.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add? If not, something comes up between now and later, let me know. We'll add it to the list, and we'll get this compiled and back out to you guys for review.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank
you.
Hey, Lisa?
Oh, my God.
On dash cam, on web cam, or body cam cameras, the retention period is 90 days.
Yeah, motion to adjourn.
It's a lot.
Aye.